Friday afternoon, it must have been the end game for the apostles. Why do I say that? Because the apostles of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, were following him, and they had these expectations. You know how it is. You and I have expectations about certain things, and when those things don't come to pass, we get frustrated, disheartened. So it must have been really harsh for the apostles of Jesus that Friday afternoon when they saw Jesus hanging on that cross. The cross represented the end game for the apostles of Jesus. Or their dreams, their hopes that they had about Jesus. I mean, you remember, they thought Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the political leader that will restore the kingdom to Israel. During this time, the Romans were in charge, and the Jewish had some type of freedom. But they knew that when the Messiah would come, eventually they'd be in charge. And eventually, they will control the kingdom to Israel. And then Jesus was supposed to be the leader, but now he's hanging on the cross. Imagine what must have gone through their minds. It's over. Were we wrong about him? I mean, I thought he was supposed to be the one. You remember, it's like Neo in the Matrix. I thought he was the one. And now the one is hanging on the cross. The disciples did not expect Jesus to die. Death was not on the disciples' radar. They did not expect the Messiah to die. Now, he's dead. It was like that was not supposed to happen. It was inevitable for them. And from that moment on, fear gripped their lives, their hearts. I mean, to the point that they were hiding. Jesus had prophesied. He said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And eventually, when Jesus was arrested, all the disciples were gone. Remember, Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Even though Peter followed a little bit, later on he said, no, I don't know the man. And he even cursed, saying, I don't even know who Jesus is. Jesus went through all that. From that moment on, the disciples went undercover. They were hiding. Why? Because they thought they killed our leaders. Guess who's next? We are. Hope is gone. Our dreams and expectations that we have for about 3 years, they were just shattered by that cross at Calvary. That was Friday. Friday evening came, Jesus already in the tomb. Saturday was the Sabbath. Everything was quiet, even until Sunday morning, the first day of the week. And then something happens. Everything ended with the cross for the disciples. So they thought. But on the first day of the week, if you got your Bibles, go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Check it out. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. But on the first day of the week, everything changed. You see, all the writers of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us about this event of the resurrection. I would say that because, when you think about the birth of Jesus, only two gospel writers talk about the birth of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. John doesn't care about, John talks about how Jesus existed from the beginning. Mark begins with John the Baptist. So, but then it's interesting because you know how you repeat something when you want people to really remember that? The four gospel writers, they all agree that the first day of the week it happened. And who were the first witnesses of the empty tomb? Women. Why women, you may ask? What did I tell you the disciples were doing? They were hiding. So women, and mind you, they have prepared spices on Friday evening, you know, because it was Nicodemus and Joseph that buried Jesus. And, you know, they went through the whole Jewish ceremonial thing preparing. And the women have prepared spices. And they went to the tomb expecting to find a corpse, a dead body. That's what they came to do. You and I need to understand this because, you know, a lot of people truly disbelieve the resurrection. These people, even though Jesus told them many times, they did not even expect the resurrection. Why? Because if they would have paid attention, say, hey, it's Sunday, hey, he's alive. They went to the tomb expecting to see a dead body. So they go in there, the tomb is already empty. They went and Jesus' body is no longer in the tomb. Now, the women did not know what to make of that. Because you remember, if you read the other accounts, Matthew and Mark and John, he says that in their minds, they say, who's going to roll away the stone? Because there was a stone covering that cave. And they could not. They were thinking, well, somebody had to do it. So they got there, the stone's being already rolled away. So easy job. All we got to do is check out the body, anoint it, go home. But the body's missing. Jesus is gone. Nobody seemed to know where he went. So they were confused and perplexed, Luke tells us, because they did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. And then during that time, John chapter 20 verse 2 tells us that the women thought that the body of Jesus was being stolen. That's what they thought. They have taken the Lord. We don't know where they placed him. And it's at that moment that angels appear, two men. It says the apparel was like shining, and they told the women, why did you seek the living among the dead? It's almost, why did you go to a holy ground, a cemetery, looking for somebody who's alive? Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. And I love it because it said, remember how he told you? He told you that he was going to rise from the dead. He said, remember how he told you when he was with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men? They will crucify him, but on the third day, he will rise from the dead. Matthew 16, right after Peter, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this has been revealed to you by my Father. And then he goes on and says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And then you keep on talking, you keep on reading in Matthew 16. It comes to a point that Jesus tells them, hey, again, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, and they're going to punish me. They're going to crucify me, but on the third day, I'll be back. You know what Simon Peter did at that moment? He took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Now, that's not all the time you see somebody rebuking Jesus in the Bible. Simon Peter did it. Why? Because Peter said, all that Peter heard was that Jesus was going to die. So they're going to kill me, but he did not hear the part, but on the third day, I'll be back. What Peter told Jesus was, never, Lord, not on my watch, because the disciples did not want Jesus to die. The disciples did not expect Jesus to resurrect from the grave either. Remember how he told you. Jesus, every time Jesus talked about his death, he talked about his resurrection. Because the gospel is no gospel. You're only preaching a dead Jesus, the dead Messiah. Because if it's a dead Messiah, everything about what he proclaimed, who he claimed to be, is void, is empty. You see, the resurrection testified to Jesus' identity as the Messiah, as the one sent from God. You see, Jesus spoke plainly about his death and resurrection. Matthew 16, 21, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day I will rise again. And to the religious leaders, he told them this, I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth. And he even said, you destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days.
They missed the whole imagery of Jesus talking about that in 3 days something extraordinary will happen. And I just remember something. I don't have it on my notes. You know who truly believed Jesus? The religious leaders. When he told them that he was going to rise again, what did they do? They put guards in the tomb. They said, well, we heard that he said, just in case that they come and steal the body, let's put some four Roman soldiers in the tomb. They kind of had an idea, you know, just in case, because somebody's going to appear, steal the body, and later on they're going to say that he's risen. They guarded the tomb. At least somebody was paying attention. But the disciples and the women, they were perplexed. It's like, what happened? And the angel said, remember how he told you? You forgot. Remember how he told you when he was with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, sinful men, that he will be crucified, but on the third day he will rise again. And then he says, and then they remembered his words. Even though Jesus spoke plainly about the resurrection, the disciples didn't understand. They did not expect the resurrection. That's what I say. It was really hard for somebody to, for the resurrection to be made up. Because the disciples did not have that in their mind. So why would they make up a story? Like some people, well, that's just somebody's story, you know, to create a new religion. Why? When creating that new religion might cost you your life. Why would you want to make that up? By the way, in the first century, the women's testimony did not have any weight. They did not believe women's testimony. So it's interesting that the four gospel writers have women as the witnesses of the empty tomb. So it's almost like nobody's going to believe that anyways because women are saying it. And that's how it was in the first century. Women were considered second-class citizens. And now they're the ones, they come to the apostles, hey, an angel appeared to us and said that the Lord is alive. They did not believe the women. Peter and John also, according to another account, they went to the tomb and found it just like the women told it. It's empty. The strips of linen, there was the ones that were wrapping around his face was folded. But Jesus is gone. They had no idea where he went. The women went back and shared the news. The Lord is alive. The disciples, the apostles, did not believe him. Verse 11 says, their words seems to them like nonsense. It didn't make sense because they were not expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. Like I said, Peter went to the tomb, saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he came back like wondering what happened. And to me, it's like, you were not paying attention to what Jesus told you, apparently. You know why that happens? To me, I struggle with that sometimes. Like, how is it that Jesus said it all the time and you did not pay attention? Because when you have an expectation, all you hear is what you want to hear. You know, we do that all the time. We call that selective hearing. I mean, every time Jesus talked about his death, he told them he would come back. And all they heard was he's dying. And they did not like that part. They forgot about 3 days later that he would rise from the dead. So now he's alive, and they're having a tough time believing that he's alive. Remember, they're still fearful. They wonder what happened. That's why I said the apostles could not have fabricated or invented the resurrection because they did not expect it. They did not believe in the resurrection. Just like perhaps you're here, you don't believe in the resurrection. You're in good company. The apostles didn't believe in the resurrection either. What happened then? What changed everything? What changed the fear of the apostles, the sadness that they had from Friday till Sunday still? You know what happened? They got to see Jesus alive. Jesus began to appear to them. To show them evidence. When you read in Luke chapter 24, 13 through 33, there are two disciples. They're going to Emmaus, 7 miles away from Jerusalem, and Jesus appeared to them. And at the end, they recognized Jesus, and they went back to the 11 apostles. Hey, it's true. He's alive. And they still could not believe. I mean, to me, it's almost like, wow, you have some trust issues. Your best friends are telling you Jesus is alive, and you're like, you're still not believing it. But Jesus began to appear. Why? To give him evidence. Sometimes you and I, we claim we want to see the evidence. Jesus will come and eat with them. In other words, like at one time he says, you know, a ghost, a spirit doesn't have flesh, and Jesus is eating fish with them. The Bible talks about for 40 days he began to appear week after week to give him evidence that he was truly indeed alive. And my friends, that changed everything in the life of the apostles. Eventually, he appeared to the 11 apostles, Luke 24, 36 through 48. He appeared to give him convincing proof that he was indeed alive. Luke tells us in the book of Acts that Jesus spent 40 days appearing to his disciples, showing them, encouraging them, giving them many convincing proofs that he was alive. That was important that Jesus appeared to them, because I think if Jesus would have just gone, you know, we would not be preaching about this. We would not be talking about the resurrection. But he appeared to them. They saw Jesus. They got to walk with him. And there was even one that wanted to touch Jesus to see the evidence, the mark. Remember Thomas? And Jesus said, "Hey, here I am." And stop doubting, he said. The apostles' fear turned into bravery. The apostles' fear turned into courage after they saw Jesus. Their sadness turned into joy. Remember, Jesus said, "Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning," when he appeared. And then, can you imagine now, they're going and they fill the whole city of Jerusalem preaching. I mean, Peter, that was really sad that he denied Jesus and he wanted to quit. Jesus reinstated Peter. And Peter's the first one who preached the sermon in Acts chapter 2, telling people that Jesus whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead, and salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other man given to, there's no other name given to man by whom we are to be saved. Peter getting up, I mean, to me, you gotta struggle. You gotta find out what changed for Peter. This man didn't even want to talk. He was hiding, and now he's in the open, and he did not care that people were arresting. I mean, there gotta be something. I mean, something that's just made up will not give you that courage. You know, some people might believe in a lie. That's true. But would you believe in a lie if you knew it's a lie? So you gotta account for that. Like, what happened to the courage of these apostles? Now they're telling Jerusalem and they're telling the religious leaders, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead." And I love the preaching of the apostles, because, you know, we have people preaching a dead Jesus, a dead Messiah. The apostles never presented Jesus on the cross. They presented Jesus raised from the dead, because the resurrection testified to his identity, that he was the Messiah, that he said, "I'm going to give my life willingly, but I'm going to take it up." And he did. So truly, it points out that he was who he claimed to be, the Messiah of the Jewish people, and not just of them, all of us, even Gentiles. I mean, Peter was, the religious people could not disprove the testimony of the witnesses. At one time they said, we cannot stop telling you what we have seen and heard. You know the importance of a witness. A witness can send you to jail or free you from the testimony of them. And so I was there. And Jesus, the Bible says that he appeared more than 500 of the people at one time. They got to see the risen Christ. And that, my friend, changed everything about the apostles. No more sadness. Now they're so courageous to tell people, "He's alive. We have eaten with him. We just had breakfast by the beach with him." And Thomas touches, I mean, yes, he's alive. The apostles were willing to put their lives on the line when asked to renounce Jesus. Can you imagine that? He said, "No, you can kill us, but we're not going to stop preaching. We're not going to stop telling you that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God." They filled the city of Jerusalem. And at one time, the religious people were panicking. Said, "What are we going to do? Let's flog him. Let's whip him." So they stopped preaching. They got flogged. They got whipped. They got thrown in jail. And there they still tell, "No, Jesus is alive." And they were rejoicing because they suffered for the sake of Christ. Tell me that you will be rejoicing when something is just made up. I mean, it's like, "Guys, let's stop doing that, because, you know, it's just a story. It's just a folktale. You know, why would you want to be whipped for something that just, you know, just a little story over there?" They did not want to deny their Savior. I mean, Jesus is alive. It's almost like saying, "The game is back. It's back on. Reset." Some of you who play video games, reset. "Hey, new life now. New game. The kingdom is coming." They thought, "Hey, any moment, Jesus is alive. He's the Messiah. Now the kingdom agenda is back in place." Yes, that's what the disciples thought. And surely enough, you go into the gospel of the book of Acts, chapter 1. The disciples asked Jesus, "Hey, Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what we've been waiting for." And Jesus told them, "It's not for you to know the time and the day that the Father has set in his own authority, But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses. You're going to tell people about me. You've seen me. Now tell the people about who I am. And the disciples did that. If we got to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because some disciples were telling disciples who told disciples who told disciples. And pretty soon we got Christians all over the world telling people that our Messiah, our Savior, is alive. And is Jesus. The disciples are willing to die. Many of them die at the hands of the authority because they wanted them, the authority wanted the disciples to stop preaching about Jesus. You see, my friend, the resurrection is the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of the Christian faith. Without it, there's no Christianity. Without the Paul even said it. You remember Paul used to persecute the Christians, and then he had an encounter with the risen Christ? Chapter 9 in the book of Acts. Paul was going to arrest anybody who believed in Jesus, and he had authority to do so, and he puts a lot of people in jail. And then on the way there, he got knocked down, and a voice told him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting," because to persecute Christians is to persecute Jesus. Try to go hunt down Christians. People don't realize they're just messing around with God. Saul learned the hard way. So Saul became an apostle to the Gentiles. And then he writes a letter to a church at Corinth about 20 to 30 years after Jesus' resurrection. And then he told them, "If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is empty and our preaching is void." In other words, like, why are we doing this? If Christ did not rise from the dead, why are we gathering on Sunday to preach, to proclaim something that just made up? Don't we have something better to do? I mean, think about it. If he did not rise from the dead, whatever they say was all a lie. And Paul says, and another thing too, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, you and I have no hope. You know, like everybody wants to go to heaven when they die? You can forget all about that if he did not rise from the dead. There's you can forget all about that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, because there's no hope of eternal life. Because who promised eternal life? Jesus. And if he's dead, then eternal life is gone. Hope, future, is gone. Paul says, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, our preaching and our faith is useless. You see, the resurrection is the pinnacle, is the paramount, is the foundation of our faith. The church was founded on this. All the preaching of the apostle was saying that Jesus is the Messiah, that he rose from the dead. Eternal life is possible because the one who promised eternal life overcame death. And Ellie read that passage. Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. They came because Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and Jesus showed up. He showed up late, by the way. And Mary and Martha said, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would have not died." And then he said these words, "He will live." They had no idea, just like the disciples. They didn't understand. And then finally, 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, if you did a study about all the I ams of Jesus, there's a lot. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." Amen. And whoever believes in me will never die, because he's talking about something after death. You see, for the Christians, I always tell that at funerals. For Christians, death is just a transition to a life everlasting with the Savior. "I am the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live." And then in John 5:25, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." How can dead people hear? But he's talking about, because again, dead is just the body. The spirit is still out there, you know, either with the Lord or Hades. He said, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, the Son of Man, and those who hear will live. Jesus is talking about the resurrection, that death is not the final chapter for those who are in him. And no wonder John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have" what? "Eternal life." life that never ends. Who's promising that? The one who died and conquered death. And I love that because it's almost like Jesus saying to you, you don't have to fear death anymore because I've already gone through that. And if you are with me, you will go through fine because I'm waiting on the other side. You see, my friend, our Savior lives and he promises life everlasting to those who believe in him. The disciples did not expect the resurrection, but everything changed when they got to spend time with Jesus. And they filled the whole city of Jerusalem with the preaching of Jesus. And those, I love Acts 2:41. Those who accepted their message were baptized and added to the number of the apostles. Peter was preaching, saying that Jesus is the Lord and Christ, the resurrected one. And salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we're to be saved. You see, if you're here today and you still feel that your life is hopeless, and you know you don't know where you're going when you die, because eventually we all die physically. Somebody said, if you're born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. The Bible talks about that when we come to Christ, you are born again. In fact, you might come from a church that they would tell you, are you saved? I'm a born again. Jesus said, you got to be born of the water and the spirit. He told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John. So that's your second birth. You know, you believe in Jesus, you were baptized into his name. And that's exactly what took place in the book of Acts. People, those who believe in Jesus were baptized. We don't baptize little babies here because they don't believe anything. In the Bible, no, babies were not baptized. Those who were baptized, the people that made a confession of faith and said, I recognize Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe in him. I believe that I'm a sinful individual, that I cannot save myself. And only through his power, through his grace, I can be saved. His name is Jesus because it means Yahweh saves. He's the Savior. And so those who believe in Jesus as the Messiah, they were baptized and they were added to the group of disciples, which is known as the church. The church is those. Every time you hear the church is there, it's a group of disciples of people that were baptized into his name. They were baptized into his name. So you're born again. You're born physically and then you're born in the spiritual family. You're born twice. You only have to worry about one death physically. But if you're born only once and you're not born again, you have to worry about two deaths, physical and spiritual. And by the way, the second death is called hell. In Revelation chapter 20:22, it's the second death. But guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you don't have to worry about that one. You know how many Christians are intimidated by the book of Revelation? You don't have to be. Because I know something you do not, like Morpheus said. You know why I'm not afraid of that? Because maybe you need to know that too. Our Savior conquered death, conquered the grave. And he promises that those who, just like he overcame, we too are overcomers. That's why we gather here today, to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, to celebrate the foundation of our faith, that the Messiah, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who created Christianity, is alive. You can find the tombs of many other religious people, Buddha or Muhammad. They're still there, the bones. Try to find Jesus' bones over there. And I love it because sometimes somebody crazy, nuts, oh, they found the tomb of Jesus and they found... There's no evidence of somebody there, you know, and because he's no longer there. And, you know, there was a theory floating around that the disciples stole the body. Where in Jerusalem could they hide a body? A fortified city. I mean, you can try, but really, you're going to get in trouble? You know, it wasn't a dead body. It was the risen Christ they saw, and that changed everything. The resurrection changed everything for you and I, because the Savior, the one that we believe in, is alive. And he said that he was going to rise from the dead, and he did. You know what else he said? That he will come back one day. And I hope that you and I be ready to, because he's not coming back just to preach to people. He's going to come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord of Lords. John, the Revelation writer, Jesus said these words, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said, I am the beginning and the end. Then he said, I was dead,
and I'm alive again.
Hallelujah.
And those who believe in him, you see, you and I don't even have to fear death anymore because we know where we're going. The Savior is just waiting over there for you. But you need to give your life. You need to surrender. Believe in him. You know, we believe. We don't believe in a dead Messiah. We believe in a risen Christ.
Amen.
Would you pray with me?
Amen.